Blog Talk Radio.
This one, I thought everything was going to go perfect. Good evening, everybody. This is Chris on IoT on Worldwide Radio. This is Around the ATL. Big day today. Having some great long-time Hall of Fame guests. I have to say that out there. This is not going to be the radio version, strictly streamlined, so no phone number this time. But before we get started, I do want to kind of mention a couple of things real quick. Of course, this is the end of the season for the Atlanta Hawks, the regular season. So we've been good at having our two guests today each year, but today was nip and tuck in it. So we were able to get these fabulous guests in today. So hopefully you'll get to enjoy the show today. Make sure you are letting people know about the show right now. Follow on IMT on Worldwide Radio on YouTube. And also you can listen to past episodes on Spotify, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, all those other platforms. Of course, you can follow myself and my co-host, Jordan Jackson, on Twitter, IntellectATL and Jordan23. And also you can follow on Instagram and Facebook on IMT and Worldwide Radio as well. If you see the scroller at the bottom, today's show is brought to you by Price Design Club. My man Jamal Price actually created the first t-shirt for Around the ATL and the most recent logo, as you see, but he also created the first logo as well as some personal projects for me. So next time you have something that you need to present to the public as far as a business, make sure you contact him and let him know that Around the ATL sent you. That being said, let's go ahead and bring in our co-host, Jordan Jackson. What's going on, Jordan?
What's going on, sir? I'm glad to be on Around the ATL today. Always a privilege when we have a chance to speak to Atlanta Hawks royalty, and that's exactly what Steve Holman is, who we spoke to at 4 p.m., and that's exactly what Mr. Bob Rathbun is, who we're about to speak to right now.
So as Jordan just mentioned, we had earlier today our guest, Steve Holman, the voice of the Hawks, and tonight we have one of the most recognized faces in Atlanta sports. He's the play-by-play for the Atlanta Hawks since 1996. He also does play-by-play for the Atlanta Dream, by the way, go Dream. Also college basketball, and he's called upon a lot to host many events in the Atlanta sports industry in the city of Atlanta.
College football as well.
College football as well. He is a professional extraordinaire, and he knows the game of basketball and the Atlanta Hawks. Tonight our guest is Mr. Bob Rathbun. Let me bring him in. How you doing, Bob?
Hey, guys, doing great. Playoffs are here.
Playoffs are here officially, sir.
Yes, sir.
Bob, one of the things I wanted to say right before we get started is one of my favorite moments for having you on Around the ATL is when you told the Atlanta Hawks fans to keep your shirts on. Trey is just getting started. It's summer league. These games don't count. I'm always going to remember that, Bob. I'm just letting you know. So So I just wanted to say that that's one of my favorite moments on Around the ATL after all these years. So I'm glad we were able to get you on tonight.
We speak the truth.
truth power, right? Oh,
absolutely,
man.
Absolutely.
Great start, great start. So my first question to you, Bob, I got the first question tonight. So obviously you just said, you know, playoffs are here. Hawks are 41-41, making the playoffs for the third straight year. Trey led the league in assists again for the second straight year. Hawks are healthy. But for the second time in 5 years, there was a coaching change made before the season was over. So just in your opinion, just as we get started, because it was basically one of the most monumental things that happened with all the other stuff happening this year, do you feel the coaching change was made at the right point of the season, or do you think it should have waited until after the season? What's your opinion on that coaching change this year?
Well, of course, as we record this today, we have the benefit of hindsight, which we didn't have when the change was made. I think any time that a franchise changes coaches in mid-season, it can go one of two ways, right? And I think for the Hawks, it turned out for the better, and that's to take nothing away from Nate. You know, Quinn's record was just about the same as Nate's record in terms of games over 500 or under 500, as the case may be. So in that regard, you didn't see a whole lot of difference. But I do think it gives Quinn an opportunity, and this is not to dwell on the Celtics right now, but this will give Quinn an opportunity going forward to get valuable insights in the locker room, in practice, with wins, with losses, being around the team that I don't think he would get otherwise. So going forward, I think it's a great thing. Now, the way we played in Miami, this team is definitely trending up. They know what's coming. The Celtics are one of the very best teams in the NBA. They're going to be very hard to beat in Boston. But I will say this. If there's ever a chance to steal a game in Boston, it is Saturday afternoon at 3:30.
Yeah.
Celtics have not played a game, and I'm talking about the starters. We were just up there last Sunday. But guys like Smart, Brown, Tatum, they have not played much basketball over the last really 2 weeks. I think they could be a little rusty. You've got a team that has high expectations in Boston, really high expectations in Boston to win at the Garden. You got a rookie head coach in his first playoff experience. It's a little different when you're in the playoffs and those three-pointers are being challenged like they haven't been all season long. So I think if the Hawks can play well, keep it close, I think they got a great chance to steal one in game one. And once the road team, the underdog, breaks through and wins a game, particularly on the road, then things start to get interesting.
Yeah,
and
anything can happen.
I just think the Hawks are kind of brimming with confidence right now coming off what they did in Miami.
And that's why I brought it up at the beginning of this in regards to this on the coaching side of things. And again, and Steve alluded to it earlier, you know, Nate is great, and I don't think there's a lot of animosity there or anything. It's just a matter of Steve said, you know, he is old school, and I'm like, there's nothing wrong with old school, but I'm old school too, and that's how I play. But I can't play like that against the new school guys, though, right now. They're way ahead of me on a lot of different things, and I just think that with our team and how it's structured, elements that it was pulled back a little bit. And whether it be on the defensive side, and, you know, we know that we lost a lot of games after having a big lead. We know that. And then on the side of just ball movement, we know we got Trae Young on our team. He's trying to get 15, 17 assists a night, but it's hard to do that if we don't really have a lot of people cutting through the basket and stuff like that. And we've seen the elements of a little bit of that transition over the last 20 games where we can see that. And then it kind of all fell in on Tuesday, I should say, against Miami. Because basically everything that we saw is like, oh, well, is this what we're going to be seeing from now on? And if so, yeah, we can give Boston a run for their money for sure. And I know Jordan wants to talk about that Miami game in detail. Go ahead, Jordan.
Yes, sir, gentlemen. Both of you guys kind of segue into my question. Before we do look forward and to see what we have in store against Boston, just wanted to go touch back on the game against the Miami Heat. For my money, personally, I think it's probably the most complete basketball game we played all season, or at least one of them. And I'll let you speak on it, Bob, but I'll just make one comment before you do. I thought the passing was exceptionally crisp in that game, and that we saw guys that typically aren't known for making great passes make great passes. Aside from that, Bob, what are some of the keys that you saw that allowed the Hawks to have such a great performance against the Heat?
Well, in addition to the passing, our offensive rebounding was superb. When you crash the glass against Miami like that, and you're getting over 20 offensive rebounds, you've done some work. And I think it spoke to the aggressive nature with which Quinn wanted to play the game. He wanted to attack before the defense could get set up, and I think that speaks to your point about the passing. Just to get the ball down the floor and not wait, not hesitate. They crash the boards, which, as he said in practice today, our best transition defense is an offensive rebound. And I couldn't agree with him more. I thought the way they approached the game was perfect. You don't often go into Miami and punch them first, and that's what the Hawks did. They were more physical than Miami. They had Miami reeling the whole game. It was great.
Steve Holman had mentioned in regards to just one of those tweaks or nuances on defense, coming back on defense, because, well, one of the things that always have beaten us this year is points in the paint, second chance points, fast break points. Tuesday night, none of those things were hurting us. And one of the things that he said that was put in there is that on coming back, we're going to put up a wall, and then we're going to match up in regards to coming back down. And I think that one changed that whole complex of that game, because pretty much most of the season, there's just a lot of where's your man at and then layup. You know, that never happened. Miami Heat could never get into any kind of a groove on that end. And even Bam was like, you know, it was mystifying almost to an extent, but it was like, it's really good to see. So,
yeah, great point. And we're going to try to do that Saturday to get back, turn, face your opponent, get a hand up. You know, it's a different team, you know, because Boston shoots the three ball as well as anybody. And they've got to be able to physically play that type of attack. A lot of side pick and roll action. They've just got to get there. And Boston also presents a little difficulty for us, is that they stretch your bigs, because we'll see Rob Williams for the first time. So Capella's going to be with him, you know, in that dunker spot, and kind of hugging the rim, where he, Clint, against Miami, could roam a little bit more. And John Collins, you know, he's got to chase Horford out to that three-point line, which you're not used to doing against most teams. So a little different offense to deal with for the Hawks defensively. But they've had two solid days of practice, another one tomorrow, and I think they know what they've got to do, and they're ready for the assignments.
Go ahead, Jordan.
Yes, sir. Well, Bob, I think you've done these a time or two, because you seem to always segue into the next question before we can even ask it. But that was basically going to be what my next question is. Give me a few keys, maybe a few key matchups or a few key strategy points that you think that the Hawks are going to have to do in order to beat the Celtics. I thought you made an excellent point in bringing up the fact that we actually have the more experienced coach in this particular matchup. And what are some of the other things? One other thing before you do say that, I want to mention that I think it also plays to our favor if Jaylen Brown, who supposedly cut his hand on watering flowers with watering his plants on a base.
If he's not
100%, right. I think that would be big as well. What are some of the keys you're seeing, Bob, and things that we have to do in order to have a chance to pull off the big upset?
We're going to have to communicate, and we're going to have to play all 24 seconds of the shot clock. Boston is an outstanding three-point shooting team, as I mentioned, but they are really good on corner threes. Against us, from the right corner, they hit 55% of their threes. That cannot happen if we have any chance at all of stealing the game up there. So I think our three-point defense and the challenge thereof is a major key to get back, get a hand up, play through the action on the side, and make sure that you've got a plan as to how to go after these guys. You know, we spent a lot of time in practice today with the help on the three, you know, getting that secondary defender to come over and help a little bit. And you don't have to go smother them with the double team. That's not it, because they'll just reverse the ball and there's another shooter waiting on the other side. Primary defender, get set and get a hand up. They're going to make threes because they take, only Golden State shoots more threes than Boston does. So they're gonna make some threes. You just don't want them to get 20, 22, you know, something like that, because that we don't shoot that many or make that many. And it's hard to make up that kind of difference. If they've got 20 and you've got 13, well, that's 21 points you're giving up on the three-point line, and you got to find that somewhere else, at the foul line, mid-range, or whatever. And that's hard to make up in a playoff game. But it's a little different in the playoffs, too. You know, yes, they're great shooters, and we all know that. But little bit of pressure.
Yeah. Well, it gets kind of tight.
You know,
yeah.
Like you run around when you're playing Detroit, you know, in the middle of January. It's a little different now. And but it's a great home court advantage for them. They're very comfortable playing there. But, again, they're rusty. You know, if we can come out and jump on them early, that'll get them thinking a little bit. And I like that.
Absolutely. And you're right, Bob. You know, at some point, if you allow too many threes, the math just doesn't add up in your favor. But
right.
I do agree with you. That's a key.
Yep.
One of the things you mentioned, Bob, was, well, since you mentioned practice, he's talking about practice, right? Switching and communication. Like, you know, when I do Sunday night basketball videos and I talk about you got to know where your man is, but you also have to talk it out. And then you're trying to talk to where you're not creating a mismatch. And if the mismatch is there, you got to say, okay, I can switch now. You have to be able to do that throughout the whole position. Somebody does, either the coach or the players on the court. Because if you can do that, you do minimize those wide open shots. And if you can do that, again, they're going to hit some of them, but they can't hit all of them, like you said. That's just absurd for them to hit 25 threes. And again, that can't happen. It shouldn't happen. So that's really encouraging that from Tuesday, that's continued to be the theme. Because if they can do that, that's going to put us in a good position.
It's one of the keys that Quinn was talking about in practice today is that, you know, the ability to communicate in a loud building, particularly when the defense is at the other end of the floor from your bench, is crucial. So how do you do that? Well, you've got to go to nonverbal. You've got to be able to make some hand signals, and to the point where if you've got a teammate in trouble, you just have to physically go get him.
Recognize,
and throw him to where he's got to go, because that's the only way they're going to hear you. It's so noisy in there. It's so loud. And you've got to be able to, you know, volume man, all the basic concepts of defensive play have got to come into play in this game, because if you get confused, Boston's so good, they'll take advantage of it. So we're going to be on point with that, and that's another thing that we talked about a lot today in practice. It was a real coaching clinic today, I must say. I was privileged enough to be able to sit in and watch it, and just great stuff. I mean, Quinn.
Hey.
Quinn really knows what he's doing.
And
not that Nate didn't. It's just a different style.
Yeah.
Quinn's the only guy talking. He's walking around the court the whole time. Very energetic, very businesslike, knows what he wants. And I think this team is going to be very well prepared. Doesn't mean you're going to win, but you'll be ready for what's coming.
You want a chance. That's all you can ask for, 50-50.
Exactly.
So. Jordan, anything? You know, you got another question?
No, sir, go right ahead.
So, Bob, I do want to bring this up because I brought it up with Steve a little bit earlier. I just want to get your take because definitely you're one of the preeminent people in the journalism world in Atlanta. Over the last couple of days, there was this one piece of documentation out there floating around basically saying something in regards to Trae Young and him not being here all of a sudden, right?
Uh-huh.
And you had a lot of outlets publish it. Put it out there as if it was, this is it, this is fact, you know. And a lot of them were here in Atlanta, okay, and I'm just wanting to know, where does the line cross where on the journalism side, as far as context, because there's a lot of responsibility for any sports writer or person in public eye and things of that nature in regards to the fan base, in regards to information that goes out there. But when it's so disjointedly negative all the time on one side of the spectrum, where is the line? Because for a long time for the Atlanta Hawks, there's a lot of people in Atlanta that really don't like the Hawks. And lately, they don't like Trae Young, obviously. So even after the organization said, this is not true, even after on the broadcast for TNT, they said, this is not true, there's no merit to it, you still have people doubling down on it as if we're going to keep talking about this even though we had a big win. So kind of give us your perspective on that, Bob, because I really would like to hear it.
Well, isn't it funny, ironic, that all these stories just happen to come out on Tuesday, the day the Hawks are playing on TNT. First game on TNT since MLK Day.
Yeah.
And this is the day everybody decides to make up a story about Trae Young. I'm sitting in the media room in Miami, and we're getting ready for Quinn's press conference. And I don't know if you guys know who Tim Reynolds is for the Associated Press, but Tim is their lead NBA writer. Okay. And so this cat covers everything that has to do with professional basketball, covers the Olympics, covers everything. And he is the man, based in Miami. And his reaction was to this story, leave the kid alone.
Mm.
He hasn't said anything. The team hasn't said anything. It's a non-story and a non-starter. Will it be addressed in the offseason? I have no idea. But right now, today, non-story. And Tim Reynolds, who you talk about, Chris, journalistic integrity, you know, he's got it times 10, and his reaction was, leave the kid alone. So I will agree with my good friend Tim Reynolds. It is just amazing to me how people, and I come from a different era, I understand, but how people can get on the air and say things. Just to say that.
Just for the sake of
blows my mind.
I don't get it, Bob.
You've got to have documentation. You've got to have sources to go with a story like this. And I don't understand how they get away with it, and I don't understand how their bosses let them get away with it.
And I guess that's the crux of it, Bob, because at a certain point, if you don't have the self-awareness, I like to use that phraseology sometimes because I talk about that in basketball, but if you don't have it, the person above you has to. Because, again, you're talking about hundreds of thousands, millions of people who are reading whatever it is, and depending on where they are, they're going to take it as for what it is. And again, like I told Steve earlier, I feel that it poisons your fan base when that happens again and again and again, whether it be a casual fan or a 40-year fan, to say there's no mistake. This is what it is. We're not retracting it. We're just going to keep it out there. And it really hurts where, again, it's the home team people that are doing it a lot of times, and that's what really – bothers me. And I don't, again, you kind of took the words out of my mouth. How do you get away with it? You know, and again, it's year after year after year, you know, it bothers me.
And it's very sad to me to see this. Full transparency, I cannot watch these shows.
Yeah.
I agree. I cannot turn on the television at 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock in the morning and watch grown men scream at one another over stuff that just doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been in this business almost 50 years.
Yes, sir.
I can count on one hand the times that something has happened that I felt like I had to go Norma Rae and jump on the desktop and start screaming. Mm. They do it every 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
I think it reminds me of professional wrestling. Like, they get together in the morning in the production meeting, and they say, well, you take this side, and you take this side, and we'll debate, quote unquote, we'll debate this topic. Well, that's not debate.
Yeah.
That's all rigged.
Yeah.
And staged. And the inflammatory language and the, you know, breaking news and all this stuff, it's just, it's trying to get clicks. They're just trying to get you to watch. And I just can't buy that. You know, in sports talk radio, they talk often about you got to have something to say to make the phones ring. Well, that's not. You've got to be talented enough to tell stories, inform your audience that you don't need phone calls.
Absolutely agree.
And we have so far gotten away from that.
Yeah.
It really makes me sad because there's no bottom to the pit. Just
yeah.
keep saying stuff to provoke reaction. Well, that's not broadcasting.
No.
I don't know what it is, but it's not broadcasting.
It's not.
It certainly wasn't what I was raised on with journalistic principles.
Yeah, and that's why I ended up starting around the ATL years ago, because at a certain point I was, and this is when I still lived in Atlanta, I was like, I can't take it anymore. What are we doing? Like, are we in Atlanta or not? Are we in the state of Georgia or are we in Texas? What's really going on here? And it was upsetting to the point where I said, I'm going to formulate something, because again, we're all fans, but I can also critique as well. I can be disagreeable on certain things or whatnot, but I'm not so much to the point where I'm a stomp on this, you know, and I'm going to make sure that everybody else hates you too. You know, that doesn't make any sense. So I appreciate you mentioning that, because I think a lot of people need to hear that over and over again to kind of compete against it. You know, we got to brush back on this. Somebody does. Go ahead, Jordan.
I just want to say absolutely agree with you guys. The thing that was disappointing to me is Mr. Kevin O'Clickbait, who's the writer of the article, he took basically the source of his article was a March 3rd conversation between Jeff Schultz and Tony Ressler, and all Ressler said was, I let my basketball players make that decision. I don't get involved on who gets traded where. And he took that and turned it like it was into some new breaking news that the Hawks are open to trade anybody, including Trae Young. Then, you know, what's disappointing is so many people, all you had to do is really read the article and click, make a couple of clicks, and you can see where it came from. But instead, people don't really read. They just see a headline, the way it's framed, and they start repeating it to the point where you had a national guy like a Kendrick Perkins say that the Hawks are wrong for putting that information out there right before the play. The Hawks didn't put any information out there. Then you also had Kyle Kuzma saying the same thing as well, who I responded to personally on Twitter. And I think it is just irresponsible journalism. And you're right. It's just trying to draw clicks. And, I mean, I hate to say this. I know you may not do it, Bob, but I will. It doesn't surprise me, coming from a publication that Bill Simmons started, you know what I mean? And I also think that same publication basically said that Trae was most likely to be a bust after the draft. So to me, it's a case of we're still trying to validate bad draft tape as opposed to just admitting, like, look, we're wrong about this kid. He's a player.
I know. You know, sports is supposed to be fun, you know? And, yes, you want to have water cooler talk, you know, who's the greatest of all time, and, you know, you could debate that back and forth. But when it gets down to this level, I mean, this is not sports talk.
It's
this
malicious.
Is something else.
It's malicious. That's what it is.
Yeah, and it puts Trae in a bad spot. It puts the organization in a very tough spot to have to respond to it. You know, and maybe it'll go away. It's sort of like the circus going through town. You know, if it comes to your town, it stops for a minute, but then they move on. And that's kind of what this story reminds me of. You know, it parked for a day because the Hawks were on TNT, and now they moved on to something else. And, you know, Atlanta had a great, great win that nobody's talking about.
Yeah.
Instead, they're talking about all this nonsense. So I hear you. And it's nice for me to hear you all feel the same way, because you have influential voices in our city, and it's important that they be heard. And it's nice to know that, you know, it's rooted in fundamental basic decency, which I salute you for.
All right, we appreciate that very much, Bob, as far as that goes. So that being said, we'll turn on a lighter note to say, you know, we are in the playoffs officially, and we are going to play those Boston Celtics, and we do have the rivalry over the last few years of playing in series against Boston and things of that nature. I have somebody here on the YouTube channel, Mr. Michael Smith, already said, yo, Hawks and Six. So there we go. See, we're picking it up right there. There you go. Because, hey, if you win the first one, all bets off. That's why I responded to him. So that being said, Bob, you mentioned, you know, you were into practice and stuff and just hearing and watching and everything like that. How do you feel these next couple of years are going to be going for the Hawks? Because, you know, we have a core still. And now we have, you know, of course, we have a new system, a new element there. Running it back, we got JJ, you got Big O, you know, you got AJ, you know, we got these young guys coming in and everything along with the veterans and stuff. How do you perceive things over the next few years? Do you think, because I told Steve earlier, we have a window here. You know, the East is what it is, but I feel that we can compete with everybody there. So what would you perceive, you know, our window, you know, over the next couple of years?
Well, I think we got to recognize there's a new sheriff in town. We have a new GM and a new coach, and they haven't had any time yet to lay out a blueprint that they can attack, because all these changes happen during the season. No team that's made the playoffs ever in the 76-year history of the NBA is doing what we're doing, which is change coaches with 20 games to go and have a new GM halfway through the season. So to say, what are we going to do in the next 12 months, 24 months, how it relates to the East, you know, I think we have to pump the brakes on that. Let's get through the playoffs. Let's sit down. Let's assess where we are, because the cap's going up. Quinn will be brought in. What'd you think? Who do you like? Who don't you like? What do you think we should do? Here's where we are contractually. Here's where we are with our draft stock. Here's what we've got coming to us, you know, blah, 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 blah. And sit down and just take a deep breath for the first time and lay all this stuff out. So, you know, and if I could just draw a parallel to sports talk again. If you tune in a 20-minute segment, the hosts, generally speaking, they know more about the team than the GM, the coach, right? And in the next 20 minutes, they're the GM of the Falcons. And the next 20 minutes, they're the GM of the Braves. And we've got a basketball staff that is consumed with this stuff. This is their livelihood. And we don't have all the answers. And this is all we do all day. So for fans listening, I would just say, let's give these guys a second when the season's over to catch their breath, exhale, and just sit out and say, guys, here we are. We got through this. I'm new. You're new. We don't even know what Quinn's staff is going to look like next year.
Yeah.
And let's just take it through the offseason and get ready for the draft. Now, I think that's the big thing right now, is just let's kind of assess what we have, what we think we have, where we're going, what the picks look like and all that. So that would be my take on it.
See, Bob, I was trying to get you to tell us, tell everybody that we were going to win the next three championships. I was trying to get you on the record. That was the plan. It didn't work out, but you gave the perfect answer, though, because that's the other part of it. I'm being silly a little bit, but yes, we're going to have a whole off season where we're going to have a full implementation of whatever Quinn has in store, you know, because like you said, he's evaluating in game, in real time, and then he's going to bring the people who he feels will be the best teachers for the team as far as that goes on the staff. The, you know, GM and everybody, they're going to be looking at the draft as far as who you're going to come in, how much money do we got, the agents, all that kind of good stuff. And then we're going to have a whole summer to go into the 2020 23 season officially at a certain point. So definitely, you of course, hit all the nails on the head as far as that goes, too. But, you know, I'm crazy. I like to throw out those three rings, you know, in a row.
That's real quick, I'll just say that, you know, I agree with you, Bob. I'm living in the moment. I'm looking forward to this series. I want to get down to, if not at least one, if not both of these home playoff games, to help try to help create a home court advantage, and I'm challenging all the Hawks fans out there that can to do so. You know, let's make it where it's more Hawks jerseys in the building and green jerseys. And when you see a green jersey, we don't want to start any stuff, but we want to boo them and let them know that this is not a friendly environment for you guys to come in here.
Well, you know, it's funny you mentioned that, because I was telling the people at Valley today, we had our big production meeting, and we're pulling clips and all that stuff. And I said, I remember in 2008 when we played these Cavs, and it was 1-8. And we were coming home down 0-2, and Steve Smith was doing the games with me. And Smitty said, what do you think the crowd's going to be like for game 3? Is it going to be 60-40 Hawks? Is it going to be 50-50? And I said, Steve, I don't know. You know what it's like during a regular season. But playoffs, I don't know. And you could hardly find a green jersey. This city turned out like you all saw 2 years ago. It
was, a part of that.
In 08. And until that run we had to go to the Eastern Conference Finals, that building, then Phillips Arena, was as loud as it has ever been. And if I'm not mistaken, Celtics had the lead in the fourth quarter in all three games here. And one night it's Joe Johnson, and the next night it was Josh Smith, and Zaza doing the headbutt with Garnett.
Yes, sir.
This city just exploded. And you couldn't find many green jerseys. So I'm really looking forward to next week when we get back here.
I agree, Bob. I attended two games of that series. That game 6 was just incredibly epic. But when you did see a green jersey in the building, every Hawks fan was booed in the hall. It was fun. Nobody wanted to fight. It was no real trouble, but it was all in great fun. And so, you know, I agree. I want to enjoy the moment, but I will say this. No matter what happens in this series, and I do think we have a shot, but no matter what happens, I think the future is bright for the Hawks. Going forward, certainly.
I do, too. And Quint has done a pretty remarkable thing. You know, think about this, guys. It's like he landed on a foreign planet somewhere. He's dropped in. He agrees to take over. He knew 4 people. He knew me. He knew Holman. From when he was an assistant coach
Bud.
Mm-hmm. He knew me, he knew Holman, he knew John Steinberg, he knew Zach Walsh, our travel guy. And that's about it. Now he takes the job, and 2 nights later, he's coaching the team.
That is pretty out there, right?
Coach. He doesn't know any of his players. I mean, he had Trent Forrest in Utah. That's about it.
Sure.
And can you imagine you get dropped in to another city and you got to do this 2 days and you're dropped into a primetime show? Think about
it. It's overwhelming. It could have been overwhelming. And
he's done a fantastic job.
Yeah.
But he's so good and so positive. I really like the way he communicates with these guys. I mean, look at the way he had them prepped for Miami. If you'd have seen him, I mean, when he did the 2 games in Miami, he'd been on the job about a week. And take that and compare that to what you saw Tuesday night.
Night and day.
We're making great strides in a short amount of time.
Exactly.
Absolutely. And you're totally right, Bob. Typically, when you have a coaching change like that, it's an interim coach from the same staff that's taking over. Not a totally different guy coming in. And obviously he's not putting his whole scheme in, but he's adding little wrinkles here and there. And I think, you know, we couldn't have asked for much better than what we're seeing now with it all, especially culminating in that great performance against the Heat. So I totally agree with you, Bob.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, Bob, we're not going to keep you. We want to say, of course, thank you once again for just taking out the time tonight and just over the years and everything, as I mentioned. I am going to try to come up there next weekend for a home game. I don't know if I can pull it off just yet. I'm trying. I'm working it out. But if not, we just need to beat the Celtics so we can go to the second round and I come up then. So that'll be how we'll work it out as far as that goes. But thank you again, man, for being so gracious to us. Again, you are one of the faces that are most recognizable in Atlanta, really, over these years. And as I told Steve, one of the best things about being a Hawks fan is you and Neek on the TV side and Steve and Conti on the radio side. That's part of the experience. Like, without y'all, like, if anybody has ever tried to watch a Hawks game on somebody else's broadcast, it is terrible. Like, it is terrible. So I just want to say thank you and kudos for all the work you've done over the years as well, just on that tangent. But you know what you're talking about. You love the team. You love the city and everything. And that's why we're just so appreciative of you being around, Bob.
Well, guys, anytime, you know that. We appreciate you all and what you do. It's so great. And keep up the good work. And we'll see you back here next week. I'm going to go up there and get a win and some clam chowder.
There you go.
I'll be there, Bob. Hopefully I get a chance to meet you and speak with you at one, in either game three or game four. Because I'm going to be at one or four or both of them.
Fantastic.
Yes, sir.
Can't wait.
All right, Bob. Take care, man.
Thank you, Bob.
Okay, guys. Take care.
That was the legendary Mr. Bob Rathman on Around the ATL. And, again, you know, the first time I had Bob on, I didn't call it Around the ATL at the time because I just kind of started doing regular shows. But I was actually in San Antonio at the time, and the Hawks had just, I think, beat the Bulls to get into the playoffs. And the Hawks are about to make their trip to go to wherever they were going to go to play in the playoffs. And Bob said he'd be available before going out there. And that was my first interview with Bob. I think that was four or five years ago now. So from there to now to have, you know, again, between him and Steve on the show at least once a year has always been really cool. Again, you know, they're legends in the broadcasting game in the community. And for the fact that they take the time out to, you know, come on to the show, talk to me and Jordan, talk real basketball, real Hawks basketball, not the flim-flam. You know, we had a whole discussion about that earlier. Why did you think I asked that question, right? So it's just really cool, you know, and I'm hoping that, you know, more people continue to watch Around the ATL for reasons of that matter. By the way, make sure you follow Bob Rathman on Twitter there, at Bob Rathman TV, for sure. But, yeah, Jordan, how do you think that went, man?
Oh, it's outstanding, man. You know, these guys are just such, both he and Steve are just such true professionals, man. Just Atlanta, true Atlanta sports royalty. I mean, Atlanta sports Hall of Famers. And so to have a chance to get their expertise and, you know, just to see, there's so many different layers and so many different angles to this. And, you know, they each kind of hit on different aspects of it, different angles of it. And it's just so great to hear, man. Like I said, both gentlemen, they segue into the next question you're going to ask before you could even ask it. Is that, you know, they so much know what they're doing. But I thought Bob, you know, was very articulate as usual, that his points were very well made. And I appreciate him, you know, giving us a little bit more time than we thought we'd have with him as well, to keep it real. So just thank you so much to Bob, a true professional, true Atlanta sports royalty.
I really was trying to get the sounder 3 championships in a row. He just wouldn't do it, man. I tried. You see how I constructed that particular – but anyway. So I do have – okay, so we have a little bit extra time, more than we had before. So 646-652-4479 if you'd like to call in and join the show for a little bit. And the chat room is open, too. We have Top Cat, Michael Smith, Yuri – who else? There are some other people here. We Talk Hawks TV and Sherry all were watching for the last couple of minutes there. So appreciate everybody watching there.
Shout out to Hawks TV. I'm definitely familiar with him on Twitter as well as Yuri. Shout out to Yuri. Both of those guys are certainly regulars. And that's no slight to any of the other gentlemen who you just named. But those two names I certainly recognize from the conversations on Hawks Twitter.
I've met Yuri once, I believe, at a draft party a couple years ago, and definitely familiar with him and his work. He's also a writer as well in the music industry, so I always check out his stuff as I can. But yeah, if anybody wants to call in, we got a few minutes, 646-652-4479. So, you know, talking about the Boston Celtics again, if you win game one, that puts all the pressure on the team that's at home. We all know that that's been a generational thing. But in the Boston Celtics case especially, they're the defending Eastern Conference champs, right? And so for them, you know, to get, you know, here it goes, oh, man, Boston got played. It was supposed to be them in Miami. Oh, well, that didn't work out, right? So now that they're, now that they're playing the Hawks, you know, and again, I said in Steve's interview earlier this afternoon, I predicted the Hawks would win by 10 points. The reasons being, we have Quinn, decision maker, right? Two, we're healthy. We were not nowhere near healthy last year, right? And then three, we have extra players that we didn't have before. You have a Murray who can get his own shot at any given time and handle the ball. We have JJ actually getting to play. It is what it is, right? You also have the rest of the bench that basically, I mean, between Big O, Bogey being healthy and hitting his shots and things. I mean, I thought he was going to windmill. That's what I said the other night. I was like, man, Bogey came through there like he was going to just, you know, double clutch and, you know. So you have all those elements as well to say if we do play some defense of any kind, we have a shot. And that's what happened. Now, can we repeat that with Boston? Of course we can. Will we is the operative word. So that's going to be the exciting thing to say. And oh, by the way, we have Trae Young actually on our team. We have somebody who's led the NBA in assists the last 2 years. He's in the top 1, 2, 3 in the league over the last 5 years since he's been playing. He also, by the way, averages 25-plus points a game every game. Like, he's on our team in real life, people. And so to say that we don't have a chance in the world is kind of crazy just because he's on our team, you know, and not like somebody else who's not playing right now. So you have that. So, again, whether or not it be Brown and his, you know, injury with the hand and the flowers or whatever. And, you know, I know Bob mentioned Al and hitting his threes, but John can keep up with Al. As far as that goes, John actually can come up out of the paint. He's not going to sink in the bottom or whatnot. So if that's the matchup, I favor our matchup in that for sure, right? It's really going to come down to Tatum. Tatum is a potential MVP candidate. He's been playing like it all season long, but it's like Bob alluded to, when it's the playoffs, you know, that shot all of a sudden can maybe disappear on you a little bit. You know, you get a little bit nervous. Those free throws don't hit as much as you want them to. So I'm wondering who's going to be the little girl in Atlanta who's going to scream for us when the other team's trying to hit free throws. Like, we need to volunteer somebody because obviously it worked. I had never seen that before. But, again, I thought Toronto had that game, and I flipped back, and I was like, wait a minute. They lost? I was still dumbfounded by that. Any other thoughts, Jordan, as I check to see if we got any callers?
Well, just shout out to all those on House Twitter, man, who listened to us and supported us, man. Shout out to Miss D. Shout out to AJ. Shout out to Flash. So many. You know, I just think that we now do, and it's no disrespect to Nate. Like I say, honestly, Steve and Bob both like Nate. He's definitely a good guy, a good person, but as far as just the basketball strategy wise, I don't think adjustments was his strength, and they do seem to be an adjustment of Coach Snyder. You know, we mentioned this a little bit earlier, but putting the bigger John Collins on Jimmy Butler, you keep him from being able to just drive straight to the basket and muscle his way in. Huge impact on the game. Having Trey play basically a give and go style. In terms of when the double team came, he gave it up, and then he ran to a spot he wanted to get to. Oftentimes, the ball came back to him on the move, and that allowed him to be able to attack off the dribble, to be able to knock down. He had this great shot at the glass once. He made several floaters on that type of play. That was a great adjustment. And so I think it is interesting. Shout out to Glenn Willis, who does a lot of stuff on Hawks Twitter. He does a lot of great frame breakdowns, and he was showing some ways that the Hawks could attack Boston switching defense by making quick cuts and whatnot. And so I'm looking to see if that's something that we try to do in this next series. You know, I do think we have a chance. And I'm going to tell you something. If Jaylen Brown can't go or if he's not effective, they better watch out. You know what I mean? I know people are going to say, well, we lost to Philly's bench the other day. Yeah, but this is different. The playoffs, it's the playoffs now. Like DeJounte Murray said earlier, everything in the past is behind them now. This is a new season. They made the dance. And so, you know, I think you see that this team is hungry, and this team is buying into what Quinn Snyder is trying to do. And, you know, it's taking a while to implement certain things and to kind of get away from some of the other things you have been used to doing for several years. But I think we certainly are seeing the results. And if they can stick to the game plan and not revert back to some old ways, I wouldn't be surprised, as most would be, to see the Hawks shock the world, sir.
It's definitely possible. Like I said, I've been saying it for a while in regards to just the transition of what's going on the offensive side of the ball, what's not happening on the defensive side of the ball. If you're able to merge that together, we have the pieces that can win games, and we've proved that throughout the season, just at 41-41. You know, losing to Charlotte those three times, you know, losing to Orlando, losing to Houston, losing that Utah game at home. We had no business losing to that. You know, December, that Nets game, we lost by 4 points. We had a lead in that game, we lost by 4 points. You know, all those things led up to 41-41 and having to qualify as we did to get into the playoffs. But now that we are there and we do have an element of a differentiation in regards to concepts and being disciplined to do certain things, it's wide open because we have the talent. You see what I'm saying? And so that's what makes me excited about it, and that's why I just can't understand why there's so many who are in Atlanta who don't want to get on that train to say, well, why not? What if? Because if you continue to stay on that side and the Hawks do keep winning, how are you going to keep doubling down all the way to the Eastern Conference Finals? Like, what if they win the Eastern Conference Finals? What are you going to say at that point? Right? What if the Hawks won the NBA championship this year? It's possible, right? Anything is possible. And some people would say anything is possible. Shout out to Hennessy. But anyway, free publicity, Hennessy. Thank you. I think people need to be excited. I think you have more of a fan base that wants to be excited. But like you said earlier, we need more fans in the stands. We can't let what has happened in the past, you know, a few weeks, even though we have sellouts, we've been selling it out. But you do have those, you know, floaty people from different places in there. They don't belong. So hopefully next weekend, like you said, we have full, you know, Hawks colors. It's obvious it's Hawks. We don't see, you know, speck of green here and there or whatever. But at worst, the national television audience that's watching the game knows that you're in the ATL. We got to make that apparent. We got to make that show a force to say, we do have a team here. We have a good team. We could have a great team, possibly. And the only way to do that is to win, obviously. And that's what we're going to have to do. What better way to do it is in the playoffs, proving ground, right? So I think a lot of the players have stuff to prove. You know, they want to show what we're all about, finally, and say, you know what? The regular season was an aberration. Now we're in the real, you know, and I think we can do it. And if, I mean, I'm just excited. I'm just happy that we're in this position because we could have easily been not in this position at all and looking crazy. And that just would have been depressing. So that being said, Jordan, you got anything else? Because we're going to go ahead and close out.
So the only speck of green I want to see is the green stem on these peaches on the Peachtree Hawks gear that I'm sure people will be wearing in the building. And if you do see any other green, like I said, and like did happen during the first Celtics series of the Joe Johnson era, you booed them mercilessly. But just to get back before we go to just a little bit of the game action, this series is interesting because it features the league's tallest leader so I do think a big key to this series is going to be slowing Jason Tatum down. I don't think he's going to totally shut him down. He's not going to hold him to 4 points or 6 points or anything like that. But if he's going to score 25, make him take 25 shots. Don't let him be efficient. And I think if we can do that, then we have a great shot, along with not over-helping to do it. If you could do that while staying home on shooters and contesting every shot, yeah, they're good shooters. They're going to make some even with a hand in their face. But if you contest them ferociously, they're not going to make everything. And so, like, those are the big keys that I see. And I'm just looking forward to it all. I'm looking forward to see what Coach Quinn Snyder is going to do against a first-year head coach. And, you know, if that first-year head coach can even keep up with Coach Snyder when it comes to adjustments, then this is his first playoff series as the head man. So with that being said, sir, you know, I'm just behind these Hawks 100%. I do understand fans get frustrated at times. Some of it, I think, is a defense mechanism because they've been so disappointed in the past. But it's time to put the past aside. Let's all rally behind this basketball team and see if we can't, you know, help them shock the world. And if they shock the world in this series, what's to say they can't do it again? So, you know, not getting too far ahead of ourselves, but I do think that we do literally have a puncher's chance in this series, sir.
Exactly. With that being said, folks, we're going to go and get out of here. Make sure you are on all of our pages. You can follow us on the IMT. That is the wrong one. The IMTN Worldwide Radio YouTube channel. Make sure you subscribe to that one specifically, of course. You can follow on Instagram and Facebook for the IMTN Worldwide Radio channel. Follow us on Twitter, Intellect ATL, Jordan23ATL on Twitter. Make sure you do go and visit the Price Design Club page on Instagram if you want logos that look like this and like that right there. Make sure you hit up Jamal Price, let him know Around the ATL sent you. Definitely appreciate everybody, and we're going to get out of here. Let's gear up for this weekend. It's going to be a big weekend. We need to go ahead and win both games, doggone it. So let's see what can happen.
Might as well. Major thanks to Bob. Major thanks to Steve. Thank you to all those who listen now and will listen in the podcast form. And last but not least, I want to thank God for giving me this breath that I breathe to talk about these Atlanta, these Georgia sports that I love. Ain't time down, baby. Go home.
Y'all take care. And by the way, NFL Draft Show is coming soon. Don't forget. Y'all take care. Peace.